We remain standing for our Gospel reading.
The Gospel can be found on page 1061 in the Church Bibles, or page 1873 in the Large Print Version. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, on that day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still and their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "What about Jesus of Nazareth?" they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So as I start, a prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have before us this morning a very familiar account of one of our Lord's appearances after his resurrection. It is Easter evening, and Luke begins by telling us that two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus. Emmaus is an intriguing place. Luke tells us it's about 7 miles from Jerusalem, but we don't know its exact location. We know one of the disciples is called Cleopas, who may be the Clopas named in John's Gospel or the Alphaeus mentioned in Mark and Matthew's Gospel. But then again, maybe not. The second disciple isn't even named. Some suggest the disciple is Cleopas's wife, as they obviously share a home. For those of us who need everything to be tidy and exact, with no loose ends, this may be a frustration. But the precise location of Emmaus, or the exact identity of the two disciples, isn't the main thing. Because Emmaus is not about the location, but about the journey and the arrival. Less about the two characters, and more about the drama being played out. The journey to Emmaus is both a literal and a spiritual journey. On one hand, it recounts the story of two disciples who, after the resurrection of our Lord, walk the up and down, winding and dusty terrain from Jerusalem to their home. On the other hand, it outlines for us the up and down, winding, sometimes hard journey of faith that we all take. From not recognizing Jesus, to understanding what the scriptures say about him, to coming to recognize him for who he is, and finally, to our giving witness of what we have experienced. So let's notice four things from this passage. First, Jesus seeks us, even when we are walking away from him. Jesus takes the time to come alongside these people and walk with them and talk with them. He is tender and personal. He spends time with them, even going with them in the wrong direction. Now, although the disciples knew who Jesus was, they didn't recognize him. In the same way that Mary Magdalene, earlier in the day, had not recognized Jesus outside the tomb. Now, we don't know why this is. The reading conveys the sense that they were kept from recognizing him. Perhaps Jesus' gradual revelation of himself allows them to learn certain lessons about trusting God and his promises. Sometimes things don't go the way we think they should. Our prayers aren't answered the way we have asked. When things don't turn out the way we want, we would be wise to wait and to see if maybe God is doing something we simply did not expect. Also, they had heard the reports of those who had seen the empty tomb for themselves, and yet they had not believed. The supernatural working of God to raise Jesus from the dead was outside of their ability to believe. Here again is a lesson for us to be careful not to make the same mistake, to discount what God has done or may be doing simply because we cannot explain it or understand it. Secondly, Jesus reveals himself in Scripture. Verse 27 says, "Then, beginning with Moses and from all the prophets, Jesus interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all Scripture." While we do not know the passages Jesus used, we know that he opened up for them the Scriptures, showing them how all of the Old Testament pointed to him as its fulfillment. Now, apparently there are some 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that point to Jesus. Perhaps he spoke of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and have a son and name him Emmanuel." And maybe verses from Isaiah 53. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth." We know that Jesus walked them through the entirety of Scripture to show how it gave witness to who he was and why he had come. Reading the Bible regularly, especially in the company of other disciples, is our surest way of knowing Jesus, as the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see him. Third, Jesus reveals himself in bread and wine. Jesus doesn't just reveal himself through the truth of Scripture. It's not without significance that it is around a meal table that the disciples' eyes are opened, and they see Jesus for who he really is. In the intimacy of fellowship, Jesus reveals himself to us in the everyday things like bread and wine. Now, God has created each of us differently, with different gifts and different strengths, different temperaments, and different preferences in how we learn. I would suggest that for those of us who find it hard to learn by sitting and listening, God has given us this sacrament of bread and wine in which we may walk as the Emmaus couple walked, in which we may take bread and touch, in which we may take wine and taste, and through which the Holy Spirit may use all of our senses to remind us that Jesus Christ is with us. It's significant, too, that Jesus does not invite himself into the disciples' home. He waits to be invited. He gives the disciples space to decide whether to invite him. He does not barge in. He does not barge into anyone's life. In Revelation 3:20, he makes this offer to everyone. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we will eat together. It's an invitation that is always there to everyone. Fourth, Jesus moves us to share. Can you imagine the excitement the disciples must have felt? Their encounter with Jesus had been astonishing. It had stirred them on the inside. It had moved their very hearts. And once moved, they could not help but share their experience. As dark as it was, as late as it was, they went back to Jerusalem. They gave witness that Jesus was risen, that he had walked with them and talked with them, explained the scriptures to them, and broke bread at their table. Their encounter with the risen Lord Jesus caused a 180-degree turn in the lives of this Emmaus couple. Now, maybe that's why this story is so attractive. Because whether we see him or not, it shows that there is nowhere that the risen Lord may not go. No road on which he cannot travel, no place that he is not present, even when we walk away from him. There will be times when we might experience the same disappointment in Jesus that the Emmaus disciples experienced. The promise of abundant life, of peace, of joy, of rest, seem far beyond our grasp. The Emmaus road is, at times, a hard struggle. Now, whatever stage of the journey we are on, in Jesus Christ, God has reached out for us. He is no stranger, but he joins us on our way. Whether we recognize him or not, he is with us. Making himself known in the opening of the scriptures, in the breaking of bread, and in the companionship of those around us. And most importantly, he will never leave us or forsake us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, give us ears that are able to hear your gentle correction and encouragement. Hearts that trust you enough to invite you in, hands that want to cling to you, mouths that are able to taste that you are good, eyes that can see you with us, and tongues that speak of you with excitement and joy. Amen.